This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international programme of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, are...
Kay Shaw
and...
Suzanne Williamson.
So today, we are going to be continuing our brand new series on desert island picks from Star Trek Voyager. And this is a challenge, because with desert island picks, like, the stakes are really high. Like, it's not just your favorite episodes. It's pick two or three episodes that you would take with you to a desert island, all other episodes of Voyager being dead to you from then on. So the stakes are really high. Like, if you could only take three episodes with you, what would you take? Are the stakes too high? Are we asking too much of ourselves here, guys?
I think so, because season two is crazy good. There's some really great episodes that I don't want to leave behind. And if I can only have three, I'm going to have to leave a lot of them behind.
This is very difficult.
See, I actually have a different perspective on this, because I think there are some brilliant episodes in season two that I don't necessarily want to watch again and again and again and again. So
you're nuts.
The best episodes of season two aren't necessarily my favorites that I would take with me to the desert island.
Wow. I don't really know what to say.
Oddly
to that.
Enough.
I found this so difficult.
It is. It is so difficult. I still haven't gotten it whittled down to my final three.
I'm wavering between a few.
Still,
we're
in the middle of recording. You haven't whittled it down.
But I figure if one of you picks one of my six that I have, you know, narrowed down to, then I can just go to your hut and watch it when I want to.
Yeah, the Cloud Knight will be expanded to the Cloud and others.
Yes.
It will be interesting to see who visits whose hut to watch which episodes of Voyager at the end of the day here.
Well, after last time, you're in Hermit Hut, if I remember rightly.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I seem to like episodes that no one else likes, so I'm watching a bunch of episodes myself.
Yeah. This time, we're just going to have to persuade you to pick the ones we wanted that we didn't have room for. We're like, Zach, take this one and this one.
You know you want to watch this. You know you do.
I don't want to start. I want other people to start. Who's going to start?
I want Suzanne to start.
Oh, you're so mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so just to remind everyone of the premise, Suzanne, imagine you're on a desert island and you could only take three episodes of season two of Star Trek Voyager with you to your desert island hut. Which episode would you start with?
Triangular desert island, don't forget, because we've got a corner each we decided last time.
Yes.
Well, after comparing our picks from season one, we're definitely at opposite ends of the island.
A little bit. Well, Suzanne and I are pretty much okay.
Yeah, it's Zach that's crazy.
I feel so alone over there in my hut.
Okay. The first one I would have to start with would be Death Wish.
Really?
Cool. Yes. Because you get Q, you get Will Riker.
I was curious if that was going to be on anyone's list. Yeah.
It's just such an awesome episode.
I do really like that episode. Yeah, it wasn't on my shortlist, actually. Even though I am a really massive fan of Q. I love Q.
We get to see what the continuum looks like.
We do. That is cool.
I think this is a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier, that this is actually a great episode of Voyager that I don't want to watch again and again and again. It's a great episode. I like the existential dilemma going on. Philosophically, it's really interesting. If this was Metatrex, I'd love to talk about it. But I just don't want to watch it again and again and again. It would not make my short list.
Yeah.
I have watched it again and again and again.
I do like seeing the Q continuum. Seeing the Q continuum is awesome.
Yes, it is very cool. But then we get to see that some more in Q and the Grey, don't we, in season 3. So.
Yeah, but it's not that desert road in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I mean, I guess the continuum can be whatever they decide it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The desert road, if I remember rightly exactly what Q says, it's something like the desert road is kind of how her mind kind of can rationalize what the continuum is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's like beyond human imagination. So they have to resolve it into something, like into a thing that they can actually recognize, or we can actually recognize. So I like that idea. I thought that was really interesting.
I really like Quinn questioning, you know, should the Q have this eternal life that they have? Shouldn't he be able to decide for himself, hey, I'm done. I want to make a change.
No, that is verboten, according to the Q continuum.
But then Q helps him out at the end, and it's like, yeah, fight the power.
Yeah, and then that causes some interesting problems that we revisit later.
Well, yes.
Which is nice. Yeah, it's nice to see the continuity of Q episodes that we get through Voyager, because this is like the start of the problem that then manifests itself more in Q and the Grey, and then obviously Q2 is like the resolution of it.
See, this is really hard because I do want to go all philosophy on this. I really do. It's interesting because reality is kind of like that. You know, all we have is reality as we perceive it, right? With our sensory apparatus and the way our brains work, we don't know what reality is really like outside of the way our brains structure things. And this is a great example of that. Like, who knows what the Q continuum is really like? To Captain Janeway, it looks like a desert road, right? But that's, who knows what it really looks like? And I think reality is kind of like this. But again, that's all Metatrexian. That's interesting, but that's not enough to put it on my desert island list.
And there's some great quotes in this episode. I mean, we get the first time that Q starts picking on Chakotay for his facial art. Ooh, how wilderness of you. Q has the best lines.
He does. John Delancey is amazing.
It's not as good of a line as mine's bigger.
But that's not that's till true. The Grey.
But you're jumping ahead to season 3, so let's not do that.
Not big enough. Best comeback line ever.
Zach, you should go next.
Way to throw me under the bus. Yeah. I was going to wait to see what
and
you had.
And then back it
had.
Up and run him over
I know
again.
You were going to wait and see what I had, which is why I'm throwing you under the bus.
You were going to get me off the hook on these difficult choices.
Nope.
Okay, I'll go next. So my first pick is non sequitur.
Okay.
Why is that?
Really?
Silence.
You just really like that coffee dude, don't you?
You do like that coffee dude.
It's funny you say that because I actually do like the coffee dude. My first job was as a barista in a local coffee shop. And I love the idea of just like hanging out in futuristic San Francisco, pulling espresso shots, serving coffee to the Starfleet officers coming in. I love that idea. I could totally hang out in a futuristic space Starbucks in the 24th century in San Francisco. Sure.
So tell us why you like non sequitur so much, Zach, because
like the alternate timeline. I like seeing Harry Kim kind of be forced to think about, you know, where he really belongs. Does he belong, you know, where he thought he belonged back on Earth with Libby? Does he belong, you know, out there in the Delta Quadrant with Voyager? I like seeing futuristic San Francisco. I think anytime you get off the spaceship and do something different, it's an interesting story. You know, here we get to see a non-Voyager episode, and I think that's quite interesting. So, and it's got a lighthearted tone that I really enjoy. I could just watch this one again and again. I've watched this countless times. Love it every time. So again, is it the best episode of Voyager in season 2? Probably not. And if, you know, for a lot of reasons, there are better Voyager season 2 episodes. But it's one of my favorites, and it's one I keep going back to again and again because it's lighthearted, it's interesting, it's quirky, it's outside the norm, and I keep going back to it for that reason.
Cool.
Yeah, this would be one that I would just take out of season 2 and forget forever.
For shame. How dare you?
It is way too much Harry Kim. Way too much Harry Kim.
Poor Harry. Poor baby Harry.
Too much Harry Kim. What are you talking about?
And he's whining in this. He's whining in a different timeline. He's always whining. It's like,
he finally gets back to Earth and he's not even happy there. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all he wants to do is get back to Earth. And he finally makes it home and he's like, this isn't good enough.
I shouldn't be here.
You'd think he would have had some kind of exciting epiphany after this episode where he's not so bothered about trying to get back to Earth, but that doesn't happen.
Sounds like you're kind of in the middle of the road on this one, Kay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what I think about this episode, actually. It's a great concept. It really is a great concept, and on the face of it, it should be a brilliant episode, because I just like this idea of, oh, what's real and what's not real. I mean, I've seen on loads of TV shows over the year this played out really beautifully, you know, with this mind game kind of thing that's going on of, well, is this the real thing or is this the real thing, you know? And it should be great, but I don't know. I like it and I enjoy watching it, but it's not one I'd pick as a favorite or one that I'd pick as one that I'd watch over and over.
I think for me, it reinforces this idea that at any point in life, it's a culmination of all these previous contingent, you know, chance events and choices you've made. Yeah. And, you know, the universe doesn't have to unfold that way. You could have made a different choice, could have gone left when you went right. And this episode really drives home how contingent, you know, the timeline really can be.
It's very fanfic. It's very fanfic.
It is very fanfic.
Because writing alternate universes is a big thing in fanfic, where you write, oh, well, if this had happened differently, or
if that stupid monkey wasn't on the planet.
Yeah, or if they made a slightly different decision, how would things have unfolded? So it's a very fanfic thing in that way.
It does sound like fanfiction. Like, imagine Harry Kim wakes up in bed with Libby. It's like, okay, we're in fanfiction territory here.
Now, Zach. Fanfiction doesn't always start like that.
Well, when it's yours, it does.
No, it doesn't. Just kidding. Harry has never woken up in bed with Libby in any of my fanfics.
Fair enough.
Yet, because I never rule anything out.
Has he woken up with Tom?
No.
They have quite a bromance in this. Even in an alternate timeline, Harry and Tom have a bromance in this episode.
I like that. Tom woke up in bed with Chakotay. That was a thing in one of my...
I can see that.
But not Harry. No.
I like seeing the real Sandrines.
Yes, that is a very cool thing about this episode.
Well, Tom is the only cool thing about this episode.
Tom, I'm going to get shot for this if there's any people out there that really like Harry, but Tom is the best thing about most Harry episodes.
Yes, he is. Is there really anyone that really likes Harry? Is there anyone out there? Please let us know.
I like Harry Kim. What is wrong with you guys?
I don't dislike Harry. I just wish that he'd been given a bit more to work with.
And not whine about.
Yeah. Like, I'm down with having a character who's the Green Ensign, who's it's his first mission and all that. I think it's a great idea. And the fact that he's really close with his parents and he's wanting to get home and all the rest of it, it's great. But it feels like he's one-dimensional then, because we don't really... He grows somewhat over the show, but I just feel like we never really get to see any more of him than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't this episode a counterexample of that? Doesn't Harry grow in this episode? Doesn't he show some depth of character inside this episode?
No.
Well, yeah, but then after the end of the episode, he doesn't really... Yeah, we get the whole magic reset button again, don't we?
Well, of course, yeah.
I like the idea that, you know, we've got this episode where he starts to think that actually being on Voyager is where he's supposed to be.
He steals a shuttle with Tom.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all Tom.
But he couldn't have done that without Tom.
It's mostly Tom. I don't know. I do get what you're saying.
But I think the fundamental thing is I don't actually care so much about the characters and the plots and the whatnot. I like ideas, and this episode is an interesting idea, and that's enough for me to go, wow, that's really fascinating. Cool. I love that. And I, again, whenever we like compare episodes, this is a theme that I keep coming back to. If the idea works for me, like it makes my imagination go, ooh, that's interesting. I'm totally on board.
It is an interesting idea. I just wish they would have used someone other than Harry for it.
Like who?
I'm not sure, but...
Like who would Chakotay wake up
even
in bed
Captain
with?
Janeway would have been awesome.
Okay, I really want to cut that together because you just went, who would Chakotay wake up in bed with? And you went, Captain Janeway. I love...
You could go down the list. Like, what if it were Captain Janeway? Well, she'd wake up with Mark. What if it were Chakotay? Who would he wake up with? What if it were B'Elanna? Who would she wake up next
Sveta.
To?
Is her name Sveta?
Sveta.
Does she ever get mentioned in the show? Yeah, she does, doesn't she?
I think
she does when they're talking about the Marquee stuff after they get the news of what happened.
Even Seska would have been better choice than Harry.
I don't know. This could have been a great Joe Carey episode.
She'd have woken up on Cardassia, though, and that would have given everything away.
Like,
Seska wakes up on
But what a reveal that would be.
That it's would like, be quite a cool reveal, actually.
Then the audience knows that nobody else does.
Right, put Non Sequitur on the rewrite list. Put it on the rewrite list.
Non Sequitur as a Seska episode. I love it.
I love it. That's great. Okay, I guess it's me then.
It is. What is your first choice, Ken?
Yeah, I feel like I'm totally failing at convincing you guys that my picks are great picks, like, every time. Like, these are great episodes. They're my favorite. You guys are like, no.
I'm glad for them that somebody really likes them.
I'm not coming by your hut to watch that, sorry.
I mean, I'm not going to, until you actually, you know, decide to pick a Ferengi episode as your favorite, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I hate that. But
if you do that, we're going to kick you off the island.
Yeah, they're not necessarily my favorites, but, you know, I'm cool with you bringing some different stuff. Maybe we want a bit of variety once in a while. Right. Oh, what am I going to pick? This is too hard.
It's only your first one.
I know. It's too difficult.
I know. It's, oh.
Okay. Okay. For my first pick, I'm going to pick Tattoo.
Oh, I'm so glad you picked that, because that was that's on my list too, and I'm so glad you picked it.
Thank you, Chakotay butt.
That is not the reason.
That
I
might
like...
not be the reason I picked
right,
it.
Right, okay. But... this is not the reason me or Zach picked this episode, but I knew this would be the reason you would pick this episode.
Okay, I want to hear, Kay, why you picked this episode, because I love this too, and a lot of people don't like this episode, and I love it, and you love it, and I want to know why you love it.
I love this episode because I love Chakotay. And I think that Chakotay is one of the most hard done to characters in Star Trek in terms of the opinion people have of him, because I think there's so much more to him than people give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my most favourite characters in Voyager, and he's probably one of my favourite male characters in the whole of Star Trek. I love Chakotay. I don't know whether it's because I'm somebody who's very much like attached with nature, and I really like going out and doing outdoorsy stuff, and I've always been brought up to sort of appreciate nature and like learn about all the different stuff, that I feel like he's somebody that I connect with in that way. So I just really appreciate like the sort of spiritual connection that he has with nature, because that's something that I feel. So as a character, I just like the fact that we've got somebody in there that has that. And I think from that point of view, I kind of understand some of the way that he's motivated. So I just love him as a character. And I just like the fact that we get this story about how he's got this tattoo, which I think they had to tell at some point, because, you know, he's got this very obvious facial tattoo. And I think there had to be the story of how he got it. I'm glad we don't get it till series two, because it keeps you guessing for a while. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
See, I agree with everything you just said, but none of that is the reason why it made my list. This is like, for me, this episode is like Voyager's episode of Ancient Aliens, or maybe a Stargate SG-1. It's like, wow, there's ancient aliens and they were related to Chakotay's tribe in some way. And that's amazing. It's again, it all boils down to this like interesting science fiction idea. Yes, I love Chakotay the character. Yes, I love seeing Chakotay's character development. I like learning some Chakotay backstory. But for me, it goes back to the idea like, wow, what if it were these aliens that, you know, contacted Chakotay's tribe way back in the day, and that's why he's got the tattoo. Wow, that's really interesting. I love that. So it's really simplistic, you know. But when I was a kid, I used to love watching things like In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. And I still like, even today, I watch the Ancient Aliens show whenever I can like tune it in. And people like tease me like, wow, why do you like Ancient Aliens? You don't really believe that stuff, do you? I'm like, no, of course I don't believe it. I just think it's fun and interesting. And I'm gonna give you guys a little teaser. Like, one episode that is not on my list here, to get it out of the way right now, is Tuvix. Even though I love the philosophy going on in Tuvix with the combination of consciousness and the two characters being blended together, that is not on my list. It's a much better episode in a lot of ways, but that's more like dinner. Like, you have to have meaty episodes. But when I'm going to my desert island, I'm taking dessert. I'm not taking dinner. Yeah. So Tuvix is my dinner. Tattoo is my dessert.
I would definitely have picked Tattoo had Kay not picked it. Because one Chakotay butt.
Chakotay butt.
It's a given right there. Yeah. Chakotay's butt. I have to see it. But also getting to see him as a child and interacting with his father and getting to know more about his father and that relationship. It was just such a good episode. It really was. And then the B plot with the doctor and his cold.
Yes.
You can't go wrong with that.
It's some of the best stuff in Voyager.
Oh, yeah. It does also have a fabulous B plot, definitely. The doctor is brilliant. I'm laughing just thinking about it.
I'm dying.
I'm dying.
I'm actually glad you mentioned the bit about Chakotay and his father, because I think this is something everyone has to deal with as they grow up. Like, you have to decide how much of my past, how much of my heritage, how much of my ancestors do I take with me and make part of who I am, and how much do I forge my own path and be an individualist and you know, disassociate from all the things that came before me. And you get to see Chakotay wrestling with being part of his own culture and his own heritage. You know, he starts out kind of, you know, a rebellious youngster, but really in the course of the episode we get to see how he's learned to embrace his own heritage and make it part of who he is in a way that's uniquely Chakotay, but honors everything that came before him. And I think that's brilliantly done in this episode.
It is. Oh, and yes. I think when I watch episodes like this, it makes me wonder why people say that there's no depth to Chakotay, because I'm like, it's right there. Look, you're saying, oh, he's this one-dimensional Indian guy.
They describe him as a Native American Indian guy.
Yeah, and it's like, well, no, because he spent most of his formative years resisting that and wanting to go into Starfleet and getting away from his heritage. So no, it's not all about who he is, you know. It's only later that he's learnt to honour that. So yeah, it surprises me really that people think that. I love Chakotay.
So do I.
Let's have a moment of love for Chakotay, because he doesn't get enough love. He doesn't get enough love.
A Coochie Moya.
A group love. A Coochie Moya.
This is a bit of a tangent, but I have a cat named Cappuccino who we call Poochie, and I've started calling him a Poochie Moya.
That's so cute.
I'm not joking.
Tangent the journey.
For real. Tangent the journey.
Yeah, but that's amazing. That's a brilliant so factoid. Cool.
I'll be walking down the hall and I'll be like, hey, a Poochie Moya.
We are far from the bones.
I love it.
You are far from the paws of your ancestors.
Is there a spirit here who will bring you the guidance you seek? I
love it. You also mentioned the doctor, Suzanne, in this episode, and it's so fun to see the doctor get a taste of his own medicine, just be dealt a lesson.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, absolutely. Who doesn't like seeing the doctor get
taught a lesson? Because he's so blasé about the whole thing. Oh,
I don't feel so good, Doc. Well, neither do I, but you don't hear me complaining.
Oh, he's such a genius actor. I love him. He's fabulous. Great.
You know, some of the other roles he's been in, he didn't get a chance to kind of just let loose and be the best comedic version of himself. And it's fun to see that this role carved out a space for him to be the funniest version of himself he could possibly be as an actor.
He quite often plays bad guys, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He randomly showed up in Lucifer. I was watching Lucifer, and he randomly showed up in an episode of Lucifer, and I got all excited. I was like,
what was the movie I saw him? God, what was it? Was it, I'm trying to remember, it's been a long time. Was it Gremlins or Ghostbusters or something? Wasn't he in one of the, some little...
He was in Total Recall. He was the Johnny Cab.
See, I didn't see that.
I love the Johnny Cab.
But it's just fun to see an actor really, like, find the perfect role that lets them be funny.
Definitely.
Or brilliant or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. There's another nice little bit in this episode, actually, which I quite like, which is that this is the first time that we learn about Tuvok's orchid passion.
Aha!
The often-discussed orchid passion.
Yes,
here on
the often-discussed orchid passion.
Orchids have come up quite a bit.
They have.
Here on our version of
They PPJ. Come up a lot in season two.
And then I like the fact that when he says, well, actually, I don't just know about orchids, I grow orchids. And then he goes, so do I. They're delicious. And it's just like, oh, Neelix.
No.
What? Like, stick them
Neelix
in a salad?
Neelix is serving up orchid
what?
Salads.
Yeah. I love it.
You could see Tuvok putting extra security on his orchids. Make sure Neelix doesn't steal them to put them in a salad.
How funny would that be?
He walks into his quarters and, like, they're just gone.
Oh, there's just bite marks out of them.
Tasty.
Neelix has just been nibbling the orchids.
I love the idea that when Tuvok goes to work, like, you know, he puts his uniform on, he goes to report to duty there on the bridge, he, like, turns on the security field around his orchids in his quarters.
Yeah.
Wrong. Intruder alert. Intruder alert.
He doesn't need slug pellets, he needs Neelix pellets. I don't know what Neelix pellets would be, because surely there's nothing so disgusting that Neelix wouldn't eat it.
I know he didn't like Plomeek soup, because he had to add extra spices to make it taste good.
He was complaining about how bland it was. Yeah, I remember that. Meanwhile, it's you again.
Okay. Oh, this hurts.
It does hurt.
My next pick is totally easy. I don't know about you guys. I already got two of mine out of the way. So.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. I'm Zach. I'm so cool.
Are you not going to pick a different one since I said tattoo?
At least I did my homework. Just
kidding. Suzanne did her homework.
I did, and it's very difficult. So are you going with tattoo for your second pick? Are you picking a different
one? I am. No, tattoo was on my list.
Oh, we're down to eight.
We have synergy going on here.
How can we be down to eight? Well, he picked non-secateur, so we're down to seven, really.
Thanks, Zach.
No problem.
I had nine on my list.
There's no requirement that we have to have unique picks. We could have the same picks as each other. Like, you guys were ganging up on me a non sequitur, but Kay and I clearly had some synergy with tattoo.
No, that's why I was, if somebody else was picking one that I had written down on my giant list, then I was like, yes, I don't have to pick that one. Somebody else did it. Yeah.
It would be really interesting if the three of us had picked all three of the same episodes, but that will never happen.
No.
No.
From what I gather.
Okay. So my next pick. Pick number two is going to go to Deadlock.
Yep.
Because one, we get to kill Harry Kim.
Oh, no! Poor Harry.
Bye, Harry.
See your previous comments on non sequitur.
Poor Harry.
This is like the corollary to that. Oh, by the way, let's kill Harry while we're talking about Harry.
Yeah.
You guys are hating on Harry too much.
I always hate on Harry.
I don't want Harry to die. Poor Harry.
I see. I kind of had this sneaking suspicion that if I were actually on Voyager, I'd kind of be like Harry.
I'd be Barkley.
Broccoli.
I would be Barkley, perpetually anxious with a holodeck addiction.
I'd be like, just give me the Delaney sisters and my clarinet and I'm good to go.
Yeah, but the Delaney sisters don't want to hang out with him.
I know. It's a story of my life.
Barkley is sadly the character from Star Trek that I identify with the most. Alas. Although I hope I'm slightly less creepy.
So first of all, we get to kill Harry. Then second of all, we get Harry back. But it's not our Harry. Yes. It's different Harry. We also get a different Naomi.
I could easily have picked this episode. Again, see my previous comments about my always liking the interesting, cool ideas. That's one of these weird science fiction ideas that could only happen in Voyager, really. And that's such an interesting idea, and I love that episode because of it. It could have made my list. It didn't, but it could have.
And we also get Captain Janeway talking about her tennis match.
Yes.
And walking home in the thunderstorm.
Yes, which we talked about a little while ago, didn't we? Saying, when did she actually say that? And now we remember. Yeah, I love this episode. I think, despite the fact that you've picked it, Suzanne, it's going to have to stay on my list. I don't think I can not pick it, even though you've picked it, because it's so incredible.
I kind of want to change my picks now to put this on my list because I'd almost forgotten how cool of an episode it is. I kind of glossed over it amazing. When I was putting my list together, but you know, Deadlock now that I think about it, it's like, wow, it is a great episode. I love this one.
I think Deadlock showcases for me some of what we should have seen more of in Voyager, which is this really desperate, the ship's falling apart, mm-hmm. we've gone to hell in a handbasket kind of thing, and I wish we'd seen more of that. And all of the episodes where we see that happen are brilliant.
All of the episodes that have the reset button?
No, all the ones where we see that kind of thing happen, where we see them really up against it, where we're really like, how are they actually going to get out of this?
Yeah, every time they go there, they reset button it away.
Yeah, they do, but it's still some of the best episodes. And whilst I think it would have become grating and tiring to see that every week, I wish we'd seen it more. And I think this is an incredibly successful episode because of it. Because the pacing is incredible and they do this incredible job of double bluffing you about which ship's going to make it. And
mm-hmm. Because you're thinking it's the one that's pretty much intact and good. No. oh, here's the Vidians.
And honestly, I think that's the reason it didn't make my list, is that I love the way they end the episode. And there's this period in the middle of the episode where I actually kind of get bored. Like, something kind of dies in the middle of the episode. And then it gets really interesting again
it's
at the
Harry.
End. And then they pull the... Yeah. Oh, that's just Harry. Cade, you mentioned like the pacing really kind of works for you. For me, it feels uneven. Like it starts out really interesting, then boom, it kind of dies, and then it's really interesting at the end, and then but it's not as even for me. And that unevenness is part of the reason it didn't make my list.
But. It does really work for me. I agree there is a slower bit in the middle, but by the time they get to that, they've built up the tension of how are we going to get out of this, and then you follow it through with the solution. Because if it was just action-packed the whole way through, they wouldn't have time to work to the resolution, and that is the bit that they're doing in the middle there. And I think that works for me anyway. Definitely works for me. There's just so much to talk about in this episode that I like. I mean, so much is packed in here. I just... In some ways, it's hard to believe it's only a 43-minute episode. Mm-hmm. You know, how much they get in here... It's absolutely incredible, really. They do the duplicate Voyager thing, don't they, a few times. It happens again later.
Just a couple times.
it happens again later with the demon planet thing.
This is part of what I like about Voyager in general. I mean, Voyager stays tied to its science fiction roots. This is, at heart, an interesting science fiction story. Mm-hmm. And not all Star Trek has done that all the time. I mean, who knows whether Discovery is going to do that. But I like that Voyager stays firmly rooted in interesting, cool, weird science fiction ideas.
Yeah.
And Janeway says it herself at the end of the episode. We're Starfleet officers. Weirdest part of the job.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about this episode for several hours, probably, about all the little things that I like about it. But I really like how we get Voyager beaten up. And we don't get the reset button in this one. You know, they're left with a beat up Voyager that they have to fix at the end of it.
And they do.
That's true. That's a good point. It's not the pristine Voyager ship that survives this one.
No. And we get this alt Harry, as you say.
Alt Harry.
And alt Naomi. But really great episode. It's probably one of my top five in Voyager. Definitely in my top 10.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any more picks, Zach? Or are you done with your picks?
No, I've only done two picks so far. I had Non-Sequitur.
Oh, I thought you were
Tattoo.
Putting Deadlock on
we
your
weren't
list.
Sure if you were, putting Deadlock.
No. I decided not. No, I would still kind of sacrifice this one, because even though I like the ending, the episode as a whole I don't find as interesting as the end of the episode. Oh. So I would not take this one. The one I would take with me, again, this is in the category of I would take my dessert episodes with me to the desert island. I wouldn't necessarily take my dinner episodes. I would take Resolutions.
Oh,
thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I totally would.
Thank you.
What's not to love? Again, is not because it's the best
what's
episode
not to
of Voyager
love?
By a long
well,
shot. What's
I
not
think
to
that's
love?
Obvious.
The monkey.
What's not to love?
The monkey is the not monkey. To love.
Well, I was more going with the bit where they go back to the ship and stop, you know, nearly going there.
Not making that canoe and going down the river.
Yeah.
Symbolism.
But this episode has spawned somewhere in the region of about 17,000 fanfics, so...
And a lot of those were mine, yes.
All of you listeners out there knew I was going to pick this and knew that we were all probably going to pick this.
No, I was never going to
pick
this.
Are you guys picking
this?
You're not going to pick it?
No.
No? Really? You would
I was
not
hoping
pick one
of you would.
I could have sworn we would all pick it, even given its dissatisfying ending.
I knew one of you would pick it, but that's not the reason I didn't put it on. I wouldn't have put it on anyway.
Because of the ending?
Because I've watched it so many times, I don't need to take it with me.
I know we can recite the ancient legend by heart.
I think you guys you're missing the point of the Desert Island picks. The point is that if you don't take it with you, the rest of the episodes are dead to you, like they didn't exist.
No, that's not how it works.
It's still in my heart
you
forever.
You just don't get to watch them again. And the alt version I have up here is way better than the actual episode.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, granted. We all have a good imagination.
And Suzanne and I are still going to continue writing fanfics about it.
Yes, we are.
But at least now we can come over to your place and watch it. So
if I hadn't picked that, Suzanne, would you have put it on your list? In an alternate universe, if I'd said, oh, Tuvix is one of my episodes I'd take with me, would you have immediately said, I'm putting Resolutions on my list?
No.
So you were just hoping. You were fishing. You were waiting for
I was
for
hoping
someone
to... that one of you would. So
and then
bad.
I wouldn't have done it. And then you would have been like, oh my God, you didn't take Resolutions. What kind of JC shippers are we?
I totally would. But again, not because it's the best episode. There are better episodes in season two, honestly. But this is one of my favorite episodes that I can watch again and again and again. And those are the ones I want to take with me to the desert island.
Yeah, it is an episode I could watch endlessly.
but yeah, I have. So I pretty much know it off by heart, so I don't need to take it with me.
I don't think of these desert island lists as like our judgment of the other episodes. I think these are like totally selfish picks. Like, which ones would I want to take with me to my little private desert island hut?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I'd have to leave Resolutions on the shelf, but obviously I do love it.
Yeah, because I couldn't leave my last pick behind. I couldn't.
That's okay. You guys can come over to my hut and we'll watch Resolutions together.
Yes, I'll bring the popcorn.
Yay! I'm excited.
Who's bringing the bathtub and who's bringing the monkey?
No monkeys.
I'll bring the monkey.
No monkeys.
It's funny, actually, that we're probably, having picked Resolutions, not going to say a lot about it, because I think it speaks for itself, really.
Yeah.
Resolutions does kind of speak for itself, so I don't feel like I need to totally explain why I picked Resolutions. On the other hand, it's like, do we need to justify, like, for all of you who haven't seen Resolutions 100 times or 1,000 times,
what's wrong with you?
Is about. What's wrong with you? I'm not going to do that. Go watch Resolutions if you haven't seen it.
I think they know why we like Resolutions.
Mm-hmm. It's a given.
But, and the people that agree with us like Resolutions, and the people that disagree with us don't like Resolutions, and that is the way that it will forever remain.
I'm always a little self-conscious. Like, I know there's a couple of TTJ listeners out there that are like, oh God, they're going to talk about Resolutions again, not this shipper stuff again. Yeah. But you asked me what my Desert Island picks are, that's what I'm taking with me.
It's going to come up from time to time. We've been very good. Mm-hmm. We've not talked about it too much lately.
No, we haven't.
I have no problem being 100% predictable in this regard. So those are my three picks. Non sequitur.
Thank you for picking Resolutions.
And Resolutions.
Yay!
Happy to help, Suzanne.
Well, my second pick was Deadlock. So, and we're having an argument about who's going with the last one next.
I'm doing the last one.
Okay. Do you want me to pick next? Oh, this is so hard.
Ha-ha!
I'm really torn, actually. There's two that I'm really torn between.
Which two are you torn between?
The 37s.
Oh, really?
And Resistance.
I have a hard time with the 37s.
Yeah, I'd leave Resistance behind.
Oh, I love Resistance.
Even though Janeway looks amazing in the entire episode. Just
she does. Amazing. And it just absolutely hits me in the feels, that episode, so much.
I really don't like Joel Grey.
I just, it really gets me. I find it so emotional.
Mm-hmm. With the necklace.
And the way at the end, that when he's dying at the end, she lets him believe that she's really the daughter and that the wife's still alive. And it kills me. It really does. I love it. And I'd watch it over and over for that. And she does look incredible in it. And it is an episode that I could watch over and over. And I love all the stuff in the prison with B'Elanna and Tuvok as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we get this whole bit about B'Elanna being surprised about the fact that Tuvok was feeling the pain and how she hears him crying out and stuff, and then she's asking him about is he not angry. I love all of that. That's brilliant. So yeah, I really
the agony.
But the 37s.
The 37s, come on now.
I would skip the 37s, honestly.
What?
It's towards the bottom of my list of seasons.
Off of the island.
OMG.
Again, I'm like contradicting myself because it's an interesting idea that doesn't really work for me.
Wow.
It's a little too cheesy. Yeah.
No, but the ending of the 37s, when they're standing in front of the door and expecting to see people that want to leave the ship, the door opens and nobody's there.
That's incredible.
Everybody still believes in their journey.
That's an inspiring moment, yeah. But it's kind of like Deadlock. There's a good payoff at the end, like, but the episode as a whole isn't good enough to justify my taking it to a desert island for me. Like, yes, I like that moment at the end, but that doesn't carry the whole episode for me.
I just love about the 37s, this, like, wide-eyed curiosity we get from Janeway when she when she goes, oh, Amelia Earhart, and the way that she gets all excited and, like, science geeky. Oh, I love it. I just love that. Like, she's just like a little kid that's like excited about this mystery and stuff. And you could see that she's somebody. She says, oh, you're one of my inspirations. You were one of my heroes. Mm-hmm. And you believe that. She makes you believe that by the way that she reacts. Yeah.
The thing is, I'm totally like that. I have, you know, heroes that I look up to from history, and I like the mysteries of history, like who shot JFK, and I could get in on all this stuff, right? But something about this episode just doesn't work for me. It's hard to put my finger on. It is a good episode with a lot of interesting moments. It's just a little like, oh, Amelia Earhart in space. Oh, really?
Is it them finding a strange truck just floating in space and then beaming it into the ship, and they can actually start the truck?
Yeah, we get to find out about Tom's love of old cars.
And Tuvok freaking out when it backfires.
Yeah, make them all jump and it backfires. The beginning of this episode's great. And what was the quote? I suggest we increase the ventilation in the cargo bay before we are asphyxiated.
Asphyxiated.
So that was brilliant.
Good stuff.
And then we get to see Voyager land for the first time. So we get to see all the blue alert.
That's exciting. Yeah.
I think I've been desensitized to this stuff because, you know, I forget Voyager can do that. That's pretty cool.
Because
you know?
we get the whole, Tom goes, well, I've never landed a starship before. And she goes, mm-hmm. Mr. Paris, neither have I.
No time like the present.
In that way that only Janeway can do, that kind of gung-ho spirit. I love her. She's great.
As Spock would have said, for everything, there is a first time.
Early Janeway was great before she got all depressed and jaded.
We find out that she knows what horse manure smells like, so that's...
Yes! It's horse manure.
Wow, she can differentiate between horse and cow and goat. Wow.
There's so much to like in that little scene with the car. I know it's kind of out there that they've just randomly found this truck, but there's so much to like in that scene.
I mean, that's part of the weird and interesting stuff that I do like. I mean, it's not, I don't want to criticize it. It's just, there's a little bit of an eye roll factor that kind of makes me go, oh, no, no.
I do love the bit where Janeway's recounting to them about Amelia Earhart because they don't all know who they are. And she says, the most wild theory was that she was abducted by aliens. And then Chakotay absolutely deadpan just goes, well, it certainly looks like that's what happened. Without a hint of irony or anything.
Kind of looks
like,
that way.
Which it could still be true. Because, you know, those photos that showed up recently showing her on an island were proved to be wrong. Yeah. So she could still be in the Delta Quadrant, just waiting.
Could be. Just waiting for Voyager.
Yep. So I guess you need to decide between the two which one is coming with you.
Yeah. That's so hard.
You guys have me thinking now that the idea of being able to solve one of these ancient mysteries, like, where did Amelia Earhart go, or pick your favorite ancient mystery, is a really cool idea, and I do kind of get off on that idea, but it still doesn't work for me, so I wouldn't get the 37s, but this isn't my pick, this is Kay's pick, so I want to know whether Kay takes this with her, or whether she's going with the other one.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Like, I love Resistance, I really do, and it is an episode that I go back to a lot, but I'm going to be nice and pick the 37s.
Yay!
Suzanne will enjoy that as well. So. And I have emo in resolution.
Suzanne, are you just relying on Kay and me to pick your favorite episodes for you?
No.
That's what it sounds like. Like, just, oh, I'm so glad you picked the 37s. I'm so glad you picked Resolutions.
No, I had so many in season 2. I'm like, there's no way I can pick them all.
Yeah, well, once you've done your last pick, I do have some more that I will mention at least anyway.
Last pick. I can't decide between three.
If you don't pick your third pick, you forfeit your trip to the desert island.
Tell us what they are. We're already there.
He's trying to kick me off the island.
We did season one. We've been there for season one. Now we're having our little trip home.
To pick up our season two
to DVDs. Do season, and then we're going to go back for season two, yeah.
Okay.
We're on TV.
I'm just going to pick one, even though it's going to break my heart.
Pull off the Band-Aid. Plaster, as we call it in the UK.
Break my heart to leave
just rip
one
it
of
off.
The others behind. So goodbye, Life Signs. I will miss you. I will miss you so much. But I have to go with the Thaw.
Ooh, okay.
Michael McKean is the clown. Amazing. Creepy, creepy, creepy. We almost see Harry die again. Always a plus.
That is your like sole criterion for taking an episode with you. If Harry dies in it or almost dies in it, then add that to the list.
This is going to make it easy for us to guess what you're going to pick in future seasons.
Or so
you would really take this episode with you? That's so interesting because this is like down at the bottom of my list. It's good. There are parts about this episode I like, but it's like down towards the bottom of my list.
See, I absolutely love the message of this episode. That's something that
and
I really
fear
connect
can
with
actually
on
kill
quite
you.
A deep level, but.
It can. It can be such a debilitating emotion that it just destroys everything about you. And essentially, you die.
And it does have my favorite quote from the whole of Star Trek in this episode.
At the very end?
Yeah, I love that quote. For anybody that doesn't remember.
Oh yeah, I guess we should say it.
Fear exists for only one purpose, to be conquered. Which is, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, I was thinking of the other one, where it's just Janeway
and... Oh, you were thinking
of
the other one?
the clown.
Oh.
He's like, what will become of us? Of
yeah.
me? She said, like all fear, you'll eventually vanish. And he says, I'm afraid. And she's like, I know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, I love that. So just the way she whispers that out, it's like, oh.
But yeah, that is awesome too.
So cool.
Yeah, I do like this one. I'm glad you've brought it, actually.
I am too. I like that you guys have different intuitions than I do sometimes. But you just to like do a reality check, like if you could only take 3 episodes, this would be one of the ones that you would take with you and watch again and again and again. And yeah. that's really.
Mainly because I've seen Life Signs so many times, it's not as many times as Resolutions. I can play it in my head.
That was me with Resolutions. I just like, yeah.
And I've written plenty of fanfic about it. So, yeah. Hmm. That and Janeway's just able to trick fear into believing that she's there.
Yeah.
That's pretty ballsy.
That's what you have to do with fear. You have to trick it to make it go away.
Yeah, it is a great episode. And I feel like it's an episode that gets a lot of stick, actually. I hear a lot of people not liking this episode, and I think that's very unfair. So I'm glad it's getting some love, because there's some really important, great stuff in here. Yeah,
yay.
Good pick. Good pick. So I do have some, well, I have like another 4 that I toyed with.
So do I.
that I didn't
honorable mention.
Honorable mentions.
I could have taken Meld with me just as well as any of the others, honestly.
That was one of mine. That was
and
one
Tuvix,
of mine.
I really yeah. could. I've been sort of saying, no, I'm not taking Tuvix. I kind of did that as
a
reaction. I can take Tuvix yeah. with me as well, but I did have to choose the others because I like them a little more in terms of rewatch. But
I actually very rarely say that I hate an episode of Voyager, but I hate Tuvix.
Really?
Ugh.
I hate
it. What do you hate about it?
I don't like it.
I think the acting is amazing. I think the philosophy is interesting.
The internet has made me hate it. The internet has made me hate Tuvix because
stupid
it's all
internet.
That anybody ever talks about. It gets brought up and hated on so much, the fact that Janeway made this decision and blah, 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 that it's actually made me hate even thinking about it because it gets brought up so much and it annoys me. Yeah.
And I sort of think of it as like the low-hanging fruit of the philosophy of Star Trek. It's like, this is one of the easy ones that yeah. everyone talks about all the time, more often than it really deserves, honestly. It's an interesting episode, but it's not like that deep of an episode. And so I just think it's a little overstated from that regard, but I think the acting makes up for any shortcomings in terms of its philosophical complexity.
Yeah, it really annoys me how people talk about this episode and pan Janeway for the decision that she makes, like it's an easy decision either way.
Yeah, it's like, how do they know what they would decide if they were in her shoes? You don't know.
It's not an easy decision either way. Whichever way she goes, you know, somebody's going to be lost as a result of it. And I don't get how everybody thinks that it's cut and dried that she should have kept Tuvix and people hate on her because of it. It just drives me nuts to hear it. And it gets said so much around the internet that it's made me hate even hearing the words Tuvix because I just don't want to think about it because it annoys me.
There's so many different ways you could read the dilemma that she's in, you know, and that's what speaks to its complexity. I'm like, you could say, well, there's two lives versus one, or you could talk about friendship and loyalty. There's any number of different spins you could put on it. So it's not obvious at all what Janeway should have done.
I mean, see the decision. I personally think she made the right decision. What I think, you know, you don't know what you would have done in the situation, but I personally think she made the right decision because from a purely logical Vulcan standpoint, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. So
yeah,
that's where I'm coming from. You can save more people rather than fewer people. It's like your trolley problem, Zach, that you talk about on Metatrex from time to time.
Yeah, this is basically utilitarianism, right? Is the goal of ethics to maximize the number of, you know, the good outcome for the greatest number of people. And here you could characterize this as a scenario of, you know, two lives versus one life and just a sheer numbers game. Yeah. But that ignores the complexity. Like, you know, does it matter that there's a special relationship with people they've known for a long time? Does Tuvix, the one person, have rights regardless of the numbers game? You know, so there's a lot of different, you know, philosophical angles you could put on this. So what bothers me about that episode is just how simplistic people make the dilemma out to be.
No, it's not that simple. Okay. Like, oh, she killed him, therefore she's bad.
Now, where the episode fails, I think, is that it doesn't do any one of those angles much justice. Like, you know, it touches on them, but it doesn't really dwell on them in any way. at the end of the day, Captain Janeway just has to make a decision. Like, there's no great decision. Which one do you choose?
Yeah, I think it's that problem that we have, particularly with certain iterations of Star Trek, which is that we get these self-contained one-off episodes. So you only get the length of the episode to deal with the issue. And it's not like you can deal with the issue and then have lots of time afterwards to kind of play out the aftermath and everything and the fallout from it. We don't get that.
Yeah, I can picture a few episodes later, like B'Elanna talking to someone down in engineering, like, you know, I kind of miss Tuvix.
Yeah, which is a shame because it was an amazing character.
Yeah, and he never gets mentioned again.
I wonder what they did to memorialize him. Like, do you think, did they like at least have his picture around, or they talk about him once in a while, or...
Yeah.
I think that's more guilt for Janeway because she needs
banish all memory of Tuvix. That's what
like she doesn't have enough.
He's Tuvix is dead to me.
Just pile it on.
It essentially is, yeah. Because I'm tired of having the argument with people. I really am.
I think, you know, the vast majority of people, all the arguments I've heard about it don't capture what's interesting and complex about the episode. And the things that are interesting in the episode don't get much depth. Like, they touch on them, but they don't dwell on them to the extent they should. And so even philosophically, I just sort of go, yeah, it's overrated. But what makes up for it for me is the acting. I think the actor that played Tuvix did a brilliant job of capturing both.
Amazing.
Both characters' personas in one.
I do agree with that. Yeah.
And that works for me.
Although, by all accounts, Kate Mulgrew did not get on with him very well, I've heard.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really know any of the details, but I have heard that, yeah.
Like, did he try to drink her coffee? Like, what happened?
I don't know. I don't really know. She said she doesn't like the episode, but then she may hate the episode for the same reason I do. She's fed up of people asking her about it.
Yeah, or just, like, hating on her. Like, you killed Tuvix.
Well, first of all, no, a fictional character that I played killed Tuvix, and secondly, stop simplifying a very complex problem.
When I listen to like behind-the-scenes Voyager stuff, I kind of get the sense that Kate Mulgrew does not always like outsiders coming in, whether it was Jerry Ryan or whether it's the guy that played Tuvix.
Yeah, I think that was a completely separate issue, though.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that was more to do with the fact that she didn't like that she felt like Star Trek had the first female captain and she was being able to do it in a way that meant that she didn't have to be the eye candy, and then they brought in the eye candy and she felt like it was a judgment on her that she couldn't carry the show by being a strong actress and being a strong woman, that they needed the eye candy to bring viewers in. And I can see why that hacked her off, to be honest.
Definitely.
Tuvix was not eye candy, I'll grant you that.
No.
He wasn't that bad. He's better than looking at Neelix.
Okay.
You have a secret Tuvok. You have a secret Tuvix fetish over there, Suzanne. There's no Tuvix naked butt in that episode.
Oh no.
Oh, I don't want to think about that. But maybe he has Tuvok's butt, which wouldn't be bad.
I feel mildly ill now.
You're gonna see a lot of naked butt in Voyager.
Neelix's butt, no.
Tuvok's butt would be okay.
Tuvok's butt, yes.
You do get to see a lot of butt in Voyager.
That's not a bad thing.
Who do we...
I just think it's interesting.
Are we now, like, digressing into who's... We get to see naked in Voyager.
It's as good a criterion as any, for
us. We see Janeway's naked back at one point.
But Tuvok shows up naked on the bridge.
And Seven.
And, of course, Chakotay butt.
We've been there, yeah. That might be it, actually.
Probably.
Certainly that's all of them in Season 2. I think, right?
The other episode, I think, aside from Resistance, that I found it the hardest to leave off was Basics. I found that tough not to pick. And you see, the thing is, I think at this point, we need to figure out how this is going to work going forward. Because I think if there's a two-parter that goes over the end of the season, I think you can choose which season you want to put it in if you want to pick it. But Season 3 is going to be even harder than Season 2. So I was like, I'm not going to pick it in Season 3.
Oh, are you going to pick False Prophets in Season 3? Please don't. I'll hurt you.
Yeah, no.
Kay, I think you can do whatever you want. You are the Tuvix of your Desert Island picks.
Hey, it's the Delaney rule. We've already established the Delaney rule.
Yeah.
Two-parters that go over the end of the season, you can pick in either season if you want to pick it. But I did find it tough not to pick Basics because we talked about it quite a bit, I think, when we did our Monsuda episode. We talked about Basics and it's just great. I think it's brilliant. It's definitely the best of the Kazon arc. And
oh, definitely.
So much happens in it. So much goes on. And I mean, the fact that the Kazon managed to cheat our crew out of Voyager is a slight leap considering their previous record. That's the only thing that really bugs me about it. But I think aside from that, it's fine.
Previous record of being idiots, yeah. You mean?
Being completely incompetent. Yeah.
I just, as much as I like basics, I just can't validate the Kazon arc. You know, it just doesn't work for me. I find it boring. I find the Kazon boring. And that episode's like the best of the worst for me.
I don't see it as it being the Kazon arc, as more of the Seska arc.
Yeah. Because Seska's the mastermind behind it all. Like, they never would have been able to do it without her.
Oh, heck no.
She's the brains behind the brawn.
Yeah. And Seska is fab.
Completely.
She's great. She's a fabulous antagonist. I really do like her. So, yeah, basics was going to be a tough one to leave. But again, it's one I've watched quite a lot, so mm-hmm. I could probably remember a lot of it.
You wouldn't need to take it with you to the desert island. You don't need to watch it that often, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I think I've watched it a lot of times already, so I kind of, it's already in there.
That's how I felt about Life Signs.
Mm.
I mean, it's by far one of my favorite episodes, but I've seen it so much that I could recite the entire thing to you.
Yeah, see, that doesn't stop me. My picks, you know, Non Sequitur and Resolutions and Tattoo, I've seen a bunch of times, and I could probably cite them line by line, but that doesn't stop me. That's why I picked them.
Yeah, I guess it's ones you want to watch again, despite having seen them that many times. And even though that is true for Resolutions for me, I think I've seen it so much and I've read so many fanfics about it. I kind of have my own headcanon version anyway that I think is better than the actual episode.
It's much better.
Yeah, for me, it's better Voyager's than like what my we've warm seen. Blanket at the end of the night. It's like my cozy time. So I want my cozy time episodes.
Yeah.
Definitely one honorable mention that was really hard for me not to put on my list was Innocence.
I do like that episode.
Which is the Tuvok episode where he crash lands and finds children. And it turns out that they're just aging in reverse. It was just such a strong Tuvok episode. And we find out a little more about him and his even his children.
Yeah, I like that we get Tuvok background in it. That's nice. We do get a whole bunch of kind of background episodes, don't we, in season two, where we get a dedicated episode for most of the characters where you learn more about their background.
And that's really important. That's how we came to know and love these characters.
Hmm. I like that they get their own little out, because season one is sort of setting the scene, really, and then season two is us really bedding in with the characters and who they are. So I do like that we get that. The other two, I guess, that I had on my shortest list were Projections and Cold Fire. Mm. I like Projections because
Projections
this is the one where the Doctor kind of forgets who, well, not forgets who he is, but he kind of gets confused, end up getting confused about whether he's actually this hologram or whether he's Lewis Zimmerman and stuff.
Real. I'm a real boy!
Always love a great Doctor episode, so that was there.
I did seriously consider putting Projections on my list.
So yeah, I really like that one. And Cold Fire, yeah, I really like that as well. I think when we did our Kes and Tuvok episode, I rewatched it, and I'd kind of forgotten how much I liked it. I think there's quite a lot of good stuff in there as well.
So. You just like the Tuvok face melting.
No, it's thing. Not just that. I like the fact that we get a full circle of the caretaker, and it comes back, and we,
yeah,
that wasn't just a pilot thing, and it wasn't just dropped there. It does come back, and we do get to find out a bit more about the caretakers and stuff.
Now, why does the female caretaker have a name, but the male caretaker didn't?
He does, Banjo Man.
I don't
That's
know.
Always bugged me.
He has a name. What?
Banjo Man.
That's not a name. Suspiria. She has a name.
Maybe he does have a name, but he just didn't tell us.
Well, I want to know. Inquiry.
Because they only actually talk to him properly at the end, don't they? So.
You know what they should have done? They should have, rather than Suspiria, they should have named her like Hesperia, like Hesperus and Phosphorus, like the morning star and the evening star. That would have been really interesting. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hesperia and Phosphora or something like that. I don't know. Sorry, and now that we've talked it through and we've gone through the pros and cons and we've compared notes and made fun of each other's picks a little bit, are we all fully confident in our picks? I'm still fully confident in mine. I would take Non Sequitur, I would take Resolutions, and I would take my dessert episode, Tattoo.
I'm still mildly devastated about Resistance, but yes, I think I'm fine with my picks. So my three picks are Tattoo, Deadlock, and the 37s.
And I'm still down with taking Death Wish, Deadlock, and the Thaw.
And you get our picks by default since we seem to have picked your favorite episodes.
That is correct. I will be visiting.
I wasn't sure when we originally came up with the concept of this whether we were supposed to be allowed to watch each other's episodes, but I kind of like the fact that we've done this now.
Collectively, we can get a pretty large set of episodes that way.
But I like it because it's turned into a bit of a bargaining game. Like, you bring this one.
I'll see your 37s and I'll raise you Chakotay butt. So there.
Chakotay butt!
Well, you guys, it's been fun talking about our desert island picks, but tattoos and Chakotay butts aren't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, the Ready Room.
So all this we gave the pilot all we had, and then we ran into some problems with episode 2, and we told everyone, like, just throw something on the page, take a vacation, come back, and in episode 5, we'll just figure
these
it
guys
out
from
go
all
on
access
from there.
Are calling me every 15 minutes. How's it going? How's it going? How's it going?
Standard orbit.
Apollo has been at this for thousands and thousands of years. He knows the human mind, knows the human heart. You know, that old, there's an old expression, right? That old age and treachery beats youth and inexperience 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. I'm going to take the old age of Apollo in this and find a way to outwit Gary Mitchell and put Apollo on top.
Meta treks.
But Pulaski immediately chimes in and says, speaking of Pulaski, she immediately chimes in and says, I have a problem with that kind of rigidity. It seems callous and cowardly. She calls Worf a coward.
Yet if she were any other man, he'd kill her where she stands.
Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
I don't know what the format of the show is, but I assume we pick something and talk about how it's bad.
Or talk about how it's good.
That seems a lot easier.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on the iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
Well, we would love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are lots of different ways you can do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is in the Babel Conference, which is our listeners group on Facebook. If you just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field, it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. If you choose message to a Trek FM show and select to the journey, that will come right to all three of us. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek FM and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. So, Suzanne, when you're not ranking Harry Kim's deaths in order of your favourites, where can people find you?
There's so many to choose from. Well, you can find me popping into the Babel Conference now and again. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. Zachary, if people would like to know more about your past life as a barista, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTreks, Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, along with my co-host over there, Mike Morrison. You can always find me in the Babel Conference, Trek FM's listeners-only discussion group, if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me over there. And you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And Kay, how about you? When you're not busy researching Amelia Earhart conspiracy theories, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me in the Babel Conference. And if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle is Choco Weeble.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm. to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you can find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, we have some people that we would like to thank. Our founder and publisher, C. Brian Jones. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp. Aaron Harvey, our art director. Richard Marquez, our production manager. And Brandon Shea Matala, our Patreon manager. And we'd also like to give a really big thank you and a shout out to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Drew Kim, Richard Marquez and Patrick Carlin. Thank you very much for your support of To The Journey and of Trek FM.
Well, be sure to join us next week when we will be asphyxiating ourselves in the cargo bay. But until then, this has been To The Journey.